it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, you talk about silencing about 55,000 people. Woo!
Ah, Max Kepler in three games. That's going to be Cappy.
Oh, come on, hero. Man.
Yep.
The hero.
Yeah, come on, man.
It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. The Red October Rally here at Stateside Live at the Sports Complex. If you want to come down, we'll be here until 6. Free parking over at Lot S right across the street at Citizens Bank Park.
Justin in Tennessee is here.
Justin Tennessee is here.
With his son, Owen.
With Owen
made
is here.
The drive up.
He can't wait to sing 5:30 Creed with us.
Yes.
Oh, man.
He will sing with us.
What does that sound like with a twang, you think?
Hold me now.
How many Peters?
Yeah.
Not how many Peters.
Yeah, we'll see how many of those we can get him to rip off.
Well, he said he has a new one for us, but he can't say it on the air.
Well, then he shouldn't say it on the air.
Well, he won't say it on the air.
How many Peters are involved?
That's what I asked him. He said no Peters.
Oh, wow. By the way, seeing the quotes from – we'll get to the top five in a second.
Oh, yeah. You see these quotes.
Well, the quotes from Ohtani saying he's excited and nervous. We can shake him.
I know.
We can shake him tomorrow.
Sounds more excited about the cheesesteaks than he is pitching in this game.
Yeah. And
make sure we load him up.
And his parlay, you know.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, well.
Well, they probably got here today, right?
Yeah.
They got here today.
Yeah.
Or last night.
But this crowd can shake him. All I need is a first inning where he walks the first batter. Walk Trey.
Yep.
Walk Trey. Yeah. You know what I mean? Just walk him.
I mean, the crowd, they were ready for – Strider was the last one I remember. I mean, they were on Strider.
Oh, yeah, remember that?
Because Strider said if I could pitch with no fans, it would be better for baseball.
Right.
Oh, wow.
And so he said incredibly sarcastically, but it didn't matter.
Yeah.
Yep. We didn't miss that quote.
You know us. Yeah.
So that was the last time I remember walking in. It was like, Strider. Yeah. And it was unbelievable. I expect tomorrow to be just like that.
Well, not to bring up bad memories, but after Schwarber hit that home run and he couldn't throw strikes, Senga was ready to get shaken last year in game one.
Yeah.
He was. And they got antsy. They swung too much. But
I don't expect this team to get antsy like that.
You don't?
Yeah, I thought last year they got in their own head a little bit.
And the shadows.
Yeah, and the shadows. They're not getting shadows. 6 o'clock, 6:38 start tomorrow.
Yeah, so we don't have to worry about shadows, right? Yep. That's post-shadow.
Yep.
All right, the top 5 of 5 is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL and CBS. NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game all season long, kicking off with the
juicy
Week 5 matchup between the Broncos and the Eagles. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today.
Each the 5.
Number 5.
At 5.
5.
With Jack Fritz.
Oh, 5. Beautiful 5.
Well, before you can go forward, sometimes you got to go backwards.
Yeah.
And it would not be a Red October rally without the 5 best postseason moments of our lives. I'm not going back to 80, you know what I mean? Yeah, yeah.
Not of your life.
My life.
Yeah.
I like our lives, though. It sounds so much more dramatic. Starting at number 5. It's
the
how
pitch.
Jesus Christ.
You sounded like you were setting it up.
I was setting it up. I was setting the scene, getting emotional. Anyway, starting at number 5, how this whole run started for this team.
The pitch. Swung on,
did it,
crushed, and the Phillies are going to lead it 4-0. A 3-run home run for Rhys Hoskins. His first postseason home run, and he's sprinting around third base.
Yeah, that was Friday afternoon.
Spike watching from afar.
Yeah. Every time I watch that one, I wish I was there.
Yeah.
That is one of them that I watch. Oh, man.
It was unbelievable. Because he made the error down in Atlanta.
Yep.
Comes back up here. There was questions like, should he still be hitting second?
Yep.
And all that was just like released on that baseball.
Yeah.
I'm just watching that thinking, I left. And Lakin gets this.
Yep. Lake insanity.
Yeah.
That spike was for us.
Yes, it was. Yeah, he was mad at fans.
Yeah.
But I kind of like that. There's this edge that the fan and player relationship can live on in Philadelphia. Yep. Where, because not that he's had very many postseason moments. I'm not talking about postseason. But Embiid, in his heyday, lived on that edge with the fans. They've given it back to them. Jimmy Rollins lived on that edge, giving it back to him. And I think the thing about Philly is that people don't understand is we want you to give it back to us in the same manner we gave it to you.
Yeah.
It's not about shut up, you don't know anything. It's not that. It's a different vibe, and you know it when you see it. And the Hoskins bat spike, I like that one.
Loved it.
Tell us to shove it.
It's
absolutely.
It's one of our favorite moments.
Yep, and thank God Spencer Strider was hurt. He's a little banged up heading into that one. All right. Number four wouldn't be Phil's Dodgers without taking a trip down memory lane to when J-Roll called game.
Swing and a drive right center field. This one is falling. It's a base hit. It'll go up the alley. Rutland will score. Ruiz around third. He is being waved home. The Phillies have won the ball game. Ruiz slides. Rollins has won it. They stream out of the dugout. Rollins by near third. This game is over as the Phillies strike again with two outs in the ninth inning, and they have a 3-1 lead.
There's nothing like owning Jonathan Broxton then during that time. I mean, Broxton, obviously the Stairs home run, and then that one. And those Dodgers teams, the back and forth, two straight years in the postseason, and still, I mean, Fransky has a million unbelievable calls, but that Rollins walk-off will always live up there.
Yeah.
Rollins is a guy that the further we get away from his career, I actually think this is maybe all the 08 guys, but Rollins particularly, I appreciate Rollins a little more every year that time goes by.
Sure.
Yeah.
Not just him, first of all, him as a player. And I have been radicalized into a Jimmy Rollins should be in the Hall of Fame guy. I don't think just as not just as a Phillies fan, I think there are a lot of numbers that support it. I'm sick of seeing war. There's a lot of other numbers there. But just as the engine for the Phillies and the attitude he had, it's just, I've said it not to compare him to Castellanos because they're not the same, but a team needs a guy with an attitude on the team. And Jimmy Rollins was that guy with the attitude on the team. Chase Utley, great player, didn't have that attitude. Ryan Howard, great player, didn't have that attitude. They needed J-Roll.
Nah, I mean, listen, I got locked in on the Phillies because of J-Roll and then Ryan Howard. It was just great to watch them play, and Jimmy was always a guy who seemed to be right in the middle of everything, and he seemed like the spark for the team. It was like how Jimmy goes, the team goes. So, yeah, I'm with you, Spike. I think the more you move away from his career, the more you appreciate what he was as a player. The hit king for the Phillies.
And he loved that moment.
He did. He didn't run away from it.
No, he was a big moment player, and that was obviously a huge, huge moment. The third best postseason moment since 2008. It was a time where we witnessed history in a Phillies uniform.
Just about a quarter to eight, October the 6th, 2010, the first postseason game for Roy Halladay. He winds the 0-2, swing and a dribbler out in front of the plate. Ruiz out to get it. The throw from his knees, it's in time, and it's a no-hitter. Unbelievable. Ruiz and Halladay embrace, and the Phillies again celebrate around Roy Halladay.
Yeah. Talk about having a memory to tell your kids as you or your grandkids as you get older. You know, Roy Halladay being only the second person to throw a no-hitter in postseason, and granddad not being able to get in the game because he has on a Phillies hoodie and a Reds hat.
Yep.
So I had to go home to watch the game and watch that from home. Yeah, that
it's a big old mess.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Just a big old mess right there. Yep. So I missed out on seeing a no-hitter in person because I didn't understand the what is it, the media?
The rules.
You can't wear team garb.
Yes. With the press pass.
Yeah. Well, you can't even wear Philly. I don't know if the rule has changed, but you're not supposed to wear your own team.
If you're not going in the press box.
If you're in the press box, yeah. I mean. Yeah.
Yeah, which they're not going to see me tomorrow.
Yeah.
So I will have on Philly garb.
That's right. Yeah.
And I had a chance. I've told the story. I had a chance. We had Val and I were dating at the time, had tickets to go to that game. We couldn't go to the game because she was ill, So we decided to watch the game on her parents' couch. And it was, you could see Roy Halladay had that with the first pitch.
Yeah.
And I think it was the third inning or the fourth inning. And, you know, we hadn't been together a long time. She watched a lot of baseball. I don't know how much baseball she knew. And I think it was the third or the fourth inning. I looked at her and I said, do you know what's going on here? She's like, I know.
Wow.
And we sat there and watched it. So, you know, maybe we get another one tomorrow. Yeah. I don't know. Christopher Sanchez. But, well, yeah, I missed that game as well.
Yeah, my favorite story about that is, so Zalecki wrote a great book called Doc.
Yeah.
And obviously, Cliff Lee was a legend in 2009. Mostly because of what he did in the postseason, the run that he went on, and he became a fan favorite. And Zalecki tells the story that Victorino went down below to see Halladay, like, on the bike, warming up.
Yeah.
And Halladay did not say hi, of course.
I love it.
But he's watching Cliff Lee's first start against as a Ranger in the postseason.
Really?
Just glaring at the TV. And he said at that moment, I kind of had a feeling that... that Roy was about to do something special.
It was a better game than the perfect game.
He was more dominant
in that game than the perfect game.
Yeah. Well, and Votto tells the story how he stepped out on Halladay to mess up his timing. Halladay came up to him in the All-Star game the next year and said, I wanted to kill you. it was incredible. So,
and then the final out being, you know, to lose, if they had lost a no-hitter on that, because that's the kind of a play you lose a no-hitter on, you're a dribbler. But
only walk in the game was to who?
I don't know.
Jay Bruce.
There you go.
Former Philly. All right. The second best Phillies postseason moment since 2008. We were all here for it. A beautiful, beautiful moment that still lives on in this city.
Two balls, two strikes to Bryce Harper. Suarez delivers. Swing and a drive. Left field. It's deep. It's going.
Yes!
And it is gone.
Yes. Yes.
It is bedlam at the bank as Bryce.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Bryce Harper has put the Phillies on top!
Are you kidding me?
His 10th career home run in the postseason! And he may never hit a bigger one!
It was around that time. He hit the home run. And I think my reaction, it was much like when Saquon broke off the touchdown to start the NFC Championship game.
Yeah.
Where I just started laughing. And I said, of course he did.
Yeah,
like, of course he did. When he hit the home run off of Bryce Elder on the Attaboy game, of course he did. Game two last year against the Mets when he hit the home run to Luis Brown closer. It's like, of course he did. So that's why we believe in him
in October.
Bedlam's going to live on forever, but man, another one to add on the resume this postseason would be awesome.
And then that's the moment where I started getting mad at you guys.
Exactly.
Hey, you had it and I didn't.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah, Bedlam was unbelievable.
Fransky said he may never hit a bigger one. This year, I want him to hit a bigger one.
Be amazing.
You know? Let's say after when we play that clip for a long time, which we will, let's always follow that clip with, I can't believe he actually did hit a bigger one, in 2025.
Yeah, maybe that could be number one one day. But for now, until the Phillies
it's pretty big.
Have a parade down Broad Street yet again, the number one postseason moment since 2008.
Runner at second, two out, and Iwamura grounds one up the middle. Oh. Utley, good play.
All right, that's clips labeled wrong.
Oh my God!
This is one of the worst.
Oh, just
producing.
Oh, and
job.
Just the blaming.
The Iwamura play with Utley, the fake the throw.
Oh, that was a great play.
It was a great play.
A great play, but not number one.
Oh my God!
What a choke!
Thank
God we don't have Buzz on the mound tomorrow.
He's not ready for the postseason.
No, he's absolutely not ready. He's a regular season player, but
are we going to be able to play it, or should we say the number one is obviously them winning the World Series?
No.
I got it.
Okay.
All right, just play it.
Fans on their feet. Rally towels are being waved. Brad Lidge stretches. The 0-2 pitch. Swing and a miss. Struck him out. The Philadelphia Phillies are 2008 World Champions of Baseball.
Watching Wheels do the little Wheels dance during that. I remember the video of that.
Yeah.
You know what has been so nice today? Talking about something other than A.J. Brown's tweet.
Yeah, for sure.
This is, you know, people sometimes, when the thing like the A.J. thing happens, says that this is what you guys love. You guys love this stuff, so on and so forth. What we love is that. You know, the joy of talking about winning and losing and those sorts of things. Yeah. Is the AJ stuff interesting? Sure, it's interesting. But that is what we're all in it for.
Yes, sir.
You know, the wins, the joy, the happiness, that sort of stuff, which is – that's why we want this. That's why, you know, the story of this team, this particular era of Phillies baseball, the 08 era went the other way. They won it first. And then they were continually chasing it. Great teams. And Ruben Amaro was sitting right here, the general manager of those teams, and said that was not the best team of that era, you know. But I think this team for the Phillies is the best team of this era. I think this is the best team of this era. And I would love to see the exclamation point of this era on this year and this team.
Yep. Yeah. That's what we're playing for.
Beating the unbeatable Dodgers, you know, as well.
The full schedule's out, by the way.
Okay.
So tomorrow night, 6:38.
Yep.
Monday, 6:08.
Okay.
Wednesday, 9:08.
Oof.
That's a rough one.
Oh, 9:08.
9:08 is tough.
Why don't we start the show at 3 the next day?
Yeah. And then Thursday, 6:08. And then next Saturday, if it's a game 5, 8:08.
We're starting the show at 3.
Yeah, well, just so we can have, you know, an hour extra in the morning the next day. It's a late game, Mike.
I see what you're saying. Yeah. I'm like, what?
That sounds like a...
So it's 6 on game day, Eagles game day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good, though. You get, I mean, you'll have some idea where that game's going. It really means that the overlap is going to be the first quarter.
Yes.
The first, maybe first half, yes. but probably first quarter. And then you can hopefully, after the Phillies win the series, enjoy the Eagles-Giants game.
Enjoy the rest of the Eagles-Giants game.
Yeah, afterwards.
Like that. Man, that sounds good. The midnight post-game show on Wednesday?
I've already throw the diet out the window, throw sleep out the window. It's going to be a good month.
Hopefully the longest month.
We'll be on fumes.
Longest month since October 22. Since 2008.
Since 22. 22
was longer. Yeah.
Well, November. 22 went 6 games.
Yeah. Yeah. Need that again.
Need that. I tell you, an underrated game because we didn't win that series. That game one in Houston was awesome.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. It was one of the best World Series games of all time.
Yeah, that game one in Houston was awesome. The comeback in that game.
Phil's down 4-0, come back, fight back. The JT homer, the Castellanos catch, Robertson stones at the end. It was.
You know, hearing John Middleton talk about the organization now and talk about the desire for consistent success over years, right? He said he doesn't want it to be just 5 years and out.
Yeah.
And that, just you bring up Houston made me think of that. If you're set up right as an organization, it doesn't mean you're going to win the World Series every year. But you look at Houston, and they didn't make the playoffs this year. They were still a decent team. But they have been, like, that team just keeps reloading, Houston. And it's not about, they spend money. It's not about spending money. Baseball is just about, organizationally, are you continually, you know,
replenishing, developing it.
And that is the next step for the Phillies. And I know they have a few good prospects down there, but really what you want is that pipeline of so many of those guys that a couple of them end up in the major leagues, and then others are fuel to get players.
Exactly. I was just getting ready to say that. That way you're not apprehensive and trying to trade some of these guys at the trade deadline, because you have plenty of people in the farm system ready to replace the guys that's up for trading. So, and that's why we were able to do what we did this past trade deadline.
Yes.
You know, having Mick Abel there and what's the other guy?
Eduardo Tait?
Catcher.
Yeah, never heard of him.
Yeah, probably going to be a DH, right, Jeff?
Yeah.
Do we have another catcher?
Not necessarily.
How old is Marshawn?
Well, Marshawn's young.
He is young?
Yeah.
All right, it don't matter.
25.
Yeah,
there you go. Yeah,
we're good.
Yeah, listen, JT will be back.
I know, but it's still nice. I don't need Stubbs as the back.
No, that's all
I'm saying. It's like, yeah, we got somebody young and looks like a catcher there.
Yeah, you can find a stop. You can find a stopgap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jack, we're organizationally, in terms of minor league system, in terms of process and evaluating players, I know the Phillies are way better than they were 10 years ago.
Yep.
Where are they, do you think, at the moment in the hierarchy of baseball?
So I think, well, there's still some monster teams at it. The Phillies are investing a lot into it. Like, they're opening up a whole another thing down in Clearwater, I believe, like overhauling it to make it more of a lab.
Yeah.
So the biggest thing for them, I think the next, what? You like the lab stuff, I know.
Yeah.
But
I'm turning them into Jackie Baseball right now. This is the true Jackie Baseball.
Man. Unleashing.
Well, so I think hitting-wise, I thought a lot of their guys kind of plateaued a little bit this year. So I think that's one thing they got to, because they've drafted a lot more hitters recently than pitching. I think pitching is actually, their pitching development, I believe, is ahead of their hitting development. They just haven't gotten a lot of pitching in the system. So I think the health of it, I think the biggest thing that Dave Dombrowski's actually done from the standpoint of, besides at the major league level, is I think behind the scenes he's turned them into a big boy club.
Here's what we got to do. We got to go find our big dumper or
he's like, yeah, he's like a fourth round pick.
I'm just saying,
but
it's
got to be
slugger.
One of them.
Like, we need a slugger
that we develop.
Yeah, that we develop.
I just
like Ryan was.
Yeah,
yeah.
I know Jack gets tired of me saying this, but I look all around baseball, and on so many of these teams, I see a guy that now. The Oakland A's have a couple of those guys. Now, they didn't even – they're not Oakland. Sacramento A's or Las Vegas A's, whatever it is. But I'm excited for the next time that we have a homegrown – this is a good team, and I love the players on this team. But there is something special about having – that. It's part of why the 08 team was so special.
Oh, yeah.
Is so many of those guys were brought up through the system at the same time.
Well,
you know?
Aiden's going to finish the year as a top 10 prospect. So,
okay.
Like, he might be 10 to 15.
Okay.
So, I mean, you hope he's the guy. Painter, now off a full year coming back from Tommy John. And then if you want to break down Francisco Renteria, who's the number 3 international prospect that they're giving a big bonus to, we can talk about that.
What is he, 17?
He's 16.
Okay.
Right.
Well, you have to be big in that. Yeah. You have to be.
What happened to our Acuna?
Well, Kenny's 13. Kenny Acuna is 14.
We got to wait on him.
Well, and the Mets have the other Acuna.
Yeah, Luis Angel.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now,
they,
I don't know.
They have the better one, don't they?
No, this kid, no.
Nah,
he's
okay. Thanks.
Nah.
So Arun, Mets.
Now, Arun Escobar is Ron Acuna's cousin.
Okay.
He is one of their best hitting prospects right behind Aiden.
Okay.
So, yeah.
One of ours?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, man.
Yeah. All right.
We're getting
bucks.
There.
Yeah.
I like that breakdown on Red October Friday. Oh,
there you go. 215-592-9494. Coming up next, how are you feeling? The half of our poll says they're nervous. I have evolved into fully confident now.
Uh-oh.
I have that anxiety, but I am fully confident.
There we go.
215-592-9494. Coming up next, we will also give our weekend picks for the NFL.
Justin will sing Creed.
Justin from Tennessee is here with his son Owen. Justin will sing Creed. And this is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We're at
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry. Do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.